So good morning, everybody. Thank you for this invitation, for this fantastic chance of taking part in this meeting today and tomorrow. What I'm going to do this morning is try to show how the OECD tries to take available evidence, available data, and provide policy implication out of these things. So, well, I think that everybody knows here that we have a growing problem, that's obesity. Obesity has increased in the last 80 years, well, particularly in the last 30 years, and our projections show that we should expect a further increase in the next 10 to 15 years for a number of countries. Canada is in the group, and some of these countries we will have then more than 60% of the population will be obese. So, what's the cause of obesity? Obesity, as more in general health, is the result of a complex series of interaction between a series of factors. We cannot say that there is one smoking gun, which is the cause of obesity. There are, of course, some constitutional factors that interact with, for example, our lifestyle, but more in general with other things, like, for example, agriculture and food production, education, work environment, water and sanitation, and so on. So, to address the problem of chronic diseases linked to obesity, we cannot just try to address one of these factors, but we should use an approach more general. What we have done, our work started in 2004 when OECD health minister met in Paris and decided that OECD had to work on the economic consequence of obesity and on obesity more in general. The first step for us was to join our forces with WHO, who has an approach, well, we have the same goals, but has a different approach. We started designing intervention, possible intervention, likely intervention, but also intervention that are already in place in many countries. To do this, we acknowledged that, the health division of OECD was not sufficient. So we joined forces with other directorates in the OECD, for example, the Director of Education, the Director for Trade and Agriculture, to better design possible intervention. The result of this first work was an analysis of the European of policies for the European region. Then a number of countries came to us and said, we want you to do the same thing for single countries. So, we established partnership with countries. This had two goals. On the one hand, we wanted to fine-tune our approach for countries, but on the other hand, countries asked us to provide information how they can do this on their own once we have completed the project. So to provide help, to provide information, to provide capacity building for countries. And we produce a result for five OECD countries. And we are going to see some of these results in my next few slides. Finally, beyond the OECD, obesity is not a problem just, and chronic diseases linked to obesity are not just a problem in the OECD area, but there are many countries, many developing countries, with this dual burden, malnutrition and obesity. We did some analysis also for a number of these countries. What's the path we tried to follow, and if you want, what's our vision for the future of modeling and of the use of data to produce policy implication? So, first of all, we have to link health to the wider economy, to labor market. This link should not be just how the labor market or the wider economy influence health, but also the way around. Therefore, how health can influence, for example, the labor market and the wider economy. Then, for example, some of our studies show that there is some cross-influence among different persons. Like, for example, people who are overweight tend to spend more time with people that are overweight, and children born in families of overweight people are more likely to become overweight. So we have to try to model this social influence, this network of links that there are across different people. Then, for the time being, we have just focused on the primary prevention. So we want also to see how primary prevention, therefore, like mass media campaigns, provide more information to people, can interact with secondary and tertiary prevention. For example, screening and so on. And finally, we have talked a lot this morning about input data. That's true, there is plenty of input data there, but believe me, these models are very, very, very data hungry. We have to find a way to optimize the use of this data to make the most of it. Oh, this is just a simplified version. I acknowledge that it's not so simplified, but we try to model the onset of diseases. Basically, what we say is that the result of a disease is in fact the last consequence of a complex chain of factors that range from physiological factor, for example, blood pressure, cholesterol levels. And these physiological factors interact also with factors that are more down in the chain, like, for example, our lifestyle, our level of physical activity, how much fruit and vegetable we eat, the level of fat of what we eat, and finally also the socioeconomic status, which affect, of course, our lifestyle, but also affects all our life. So, we tried to model a number of different interventions. Some of them fall clearly under the Department of Health domain, for example, physician counseling or intensive physician counseling. But as you can see, most of them actually are outside what we usually consider clearly as under the health domain. We model what are the effects of new policies in terms of the price of fruit and vegetable and of price of fat. So fiscal measure to decrease the price of fruit and vegetable and to increase the price of food high in fat. We try to assess, well, we assessed how the regulation and the self-regulation from the industry to food advertising can affect the level of obesity and chronic diseases. And also we saw other policy, we assessed other policy in the domain of education. So for example, mass media campaigns or intervention at schools. Then we have done this, as I mentioned, for more than 4 billion people around the world. Today I'm going to present results for OECD countries, basically. And this is what we can expect from when we try to implement single intervention. Starting from school-based intervention, going down to physician dietitian counseling, you see on your right what we can expect in terms of life years gained, while on the left side you have disability-adjusted life years, which is a way to adjust life years for the level of health. So if you're in good health, your life year will value more, saying this in a nutshell. Some of the intervention can produce bigger effects, while others need basically more time. What I'm presenting here is the average effect on 100 years. Some intervention, like, for example, school-based intervention, takes a lot of time, simply because as you work on children, you have at least to wait that those children become adults and start developing chronic disease. So you cannot expect to find results for the first 30, 50 years. 30, 40, basically. But in terms of cost effectiveness, the results are pretty good. These are results for Canada of single intervention. The left panel shows results after 10 years, while the right panel shows results after 100 years, so in the long term, once all the interventions are at what we call the steady state. Basically, interventional children just after 10 years are not cost effective, but all the intervention after 100 years, well, even before, go under the threshold of $50,000 per daily, which is internationally considered as a good threshold to define an efficient intervention. Therefore, in the long run, All these interventions have an efficiency which is comparable, if you want, to many of the interventions of drugs, of clinical intervention already provided by the health systems. However, we saw intervention, a single intervention alone cannot, the result of single intervention alone is not so bright. So we try to assess a multiple intervention strategy. Basically, we try to combine intervention to tackle different causes at the same time on different target groups. This multiple intervention strategy basically entails a school-based intervention plus physician counseling for people at high risk, plus a compulsory food labeling scheme, plus mass media campaigns, plus self-regulation of food advertising. And as you can see, already after 20 years across all these five OECD countries, results are very good. Cost-effectiveness ratio is well below that threshold of $50,000 that I mentioned earlier. And also in terms of health outcomes, we can expect that, for example, in England, we can save almost 1,500 life years per million population every year. What's the impact of this intervention on the health budget? These graphs show what are the savings per capita in US dollar starting from the first year after implementation, it's year number zero, for a time till after 100 years after intervention. As you can see, the results are pretty encouraging. In some countries, for example in Japan, which is the country with the lowest expected saving, we can save more than $50,000 per capita, while, for example, in Canada, in England, in Mexico, we are between $125 and $150 per capita. What are the policy implications of our work? Prevention is an efficient way to improve population health. I've already said this. Then comprehensive strategies provide best results, much better than single interventions. The most cost-effective interventions are outside the healthcare sector, but primary care interventions have the largest impact. Finally, a multi-stakeholder approach is required. This for a number of reasons. First of all, because government cannot think that they can tackle obesity without collaborating with other relevant stakeholders in the area. Also because a multi-stakeholder approach can help in mobilizing resources from other sources and not necessarily from government. Finally, if you are interested in our work on prevention, you have access to a series of sources. We have just published our book, Obesity on the Obesity and Economics of Prevention. There are plenty of working paper and also a paper forthcoming. Thank you very much.